Praise the Lord. Yeah, time for us to feed our inner man with its soul food that comes from the Word of God. Yeah, as you know, we are in our series in the I Am statements of Jesus. Last Sunday, we covered the first one, which was, I am the bread of life. And again, last Sunday, I told you that that title, I am, is too big for us as human beings. Jesus Christ is the only human being since the world began and until the end of it to claim that powerful title, because it is the name of God. I read with you from Exodus how Moses wanted to know the name of God and said, where I'm going, where you're sending me. I know those guys might ask me for the one who sent me. What should I take? Because I don't know you. We've just met here. You are talking to me. I'm hearing your voice from the burning bush. So I don't know your name. I might know that you are the Lord, my God, but I don't know your name. If they ask me for your name, what should I tell them? And he said, go and tell them that I am has sent me to you. So, this man, Jesus, a unique person, fully God, fully man, he got the guts, the courage of claiming that name of Yahweh. And he said, before Abraham, your father, was, I am. So this great I am in the flesh brought or spoke seven statements about who he is. Identity okweya anjula kwe liba antu. So that people could understand who. I can't say who he was, because he has never been. So that people can understand him, who he is. You see, like the late Pastor Saint Fuma. He was a good pastor. We loved him. Yeah, he was trying to point people to Christ. But he died of COVID a few days ago. But it's now wars until the end. Because he's no longer there with us. So what Pastor Saint Fuma was, but Jesus Christ, although he died far before Pastor Saint Fuma, he died 2,000 years ago, but you don't use words with him. He wanted to know, the world to know who he is, because this is the great I am. And he began with, I am the bread of life. And last Sunday, we tried to explain to you what that means. Like, we are simply to remind you, I say that bread stands for meal or food. That's how they used to call it in those lands. So when you hear bread, just put in your mind food. So we all survive here because of food. So food sustains our lives here. You don't eat, you die. Yeah, so Jesus Christ says, okay, me, I'm the bread of life. In other words, this bread, this food that we eat that sustains our bodies, does not give real life. Does not give real life. But Jesus Christ is the food of life. You eat him, you'll never hunger forever. So how can you eat Jesus? By following him, he said it himself. Whoever follows me will never hunger. When you follow him, will never thirst anymore. So that was for last Sunday. Today, we are handling the second I am. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Today, I am the light of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, oh, our great light, our great King, we thank you for having brought some of us from the world of darkness into your world of brightest light. by washing all our sins away, by carrying them upon yourself on Calvary's cross. We'll be forever grateful for that. Thank you for having gathered this us here as a family in this lockdown time in Uganda. Be with us as we handle the second I am today. Use me for the sake of your name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Yeah, so we are in John chapter 8 and verse 12. I'm going to read only verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So let's first try to understand the background, because Jesus Christ is not mad, as some Pharisees used to say. This guy is insane. Jesus Christ was not insane. What pushed him to say these words? What was happening? So let's go quickly to verse 1 of chapter 8, and I show you something there. So it says, they went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, verse 2, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Let's stop there. So here, these two verses are giving us some light of what was going on. So Jesus Christ had gone to the temple to teach, as he liked. He liked really to go to the temple to teach. And he taught. When evening time came, the Bible tells us, they went each to his house. Yeah, evening time to go and rest. Everyone went back to his house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to do what? To pray. Jesus Christ used to spend much of his time in prayer. You and me, we need to ask ourselves that question. Do you feel satisfied in that after our family has prayed on together at 3 every day? Say, Tumazoku Saba, we've prayed? Or do you have your personal program for prayer? Jesus Christ was praying too much. He was going to spend all night while other people are going back to their homes to sleep. Jesus Christ is leaving the temple and goes to the Mount of Olives to spend the whole night praying, talking to his Father in heaven. May he help us to be people of prayer as he is. I don't want to use words with Christ. I just try to avoid wars with Jesus Christ, my God, as he is. He is the great I am. So they depart, or they depart. This one goes to sleep. Jesus Christ goes to speak to his Father in the night. Then verse 2, early in the morning, he came again to the temple from the Mount of Olives. He goes back to the temple. Ask yourself, when did he get his breakfast that you put much attention on? Breakfast, have you had your breakfast? It's okay, I'm not saying it's bad. He comes back to the temple, and the Pharisees come in to interrupt him. But Pharisees, they come. So now, from verse 3 up to 11, we have a parenthesis, a break. We have a small break there, whereby the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they placed him before Jesus Christ and said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, the law almost commanded us to stone such women." So what do you say? So they speak like that. They do that to tempt him, or to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against Jesus. But Jesus bent down. You know what happened there. He bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more, he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard this, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." So now, Jesus did not go there for that. They just came with this woman to try to confuse him from what he was teaching. So we are not told what he was teaching in this chapter. So we don't know what he was teaching. But these people just came to interact with that. There were people there who were busy listening to him teach them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought this woman to get his attention from his teaching. And after managing them very well, Jesus Christ being God, he managed. They chased themselves. He remained there with the woman alone and said, "Woman, where are they? They are gone." "Okay, they did not condemn you?" "No, no, Lord, I don't condemn you either. But go and never sin again." The woman also leaves and goes. He leaves Jesus Christ there with his former group, those who are inside the temple. And Jesus Christ continues teaching them now as we read in verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, now those who are with him in the temple, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life. So he continued teaching in the temple. Yeah, so again, Jesus spoke to them. So when I hear again Jesus spoke to them, I understand that when these scribes and Pharisees came with this woman, they found Jesus Christ teaching about light, about him being light of the world. So that's why again Jesus spoke to them. Or I don't know, or he might have been teaching them about something else, then he's changing to this one that is light of the world, whichever. Yeah, so now let's go now to and try to analyze this second I am the light of the world. First of all, let me remind you that Jesus Christ was not on earth by accident. Jesus Christ was not on earth by accident. The whole Old Testament was prophesied about his coming. They talked about him in various ways in the Old Testament. And one of them, let's go back to our first reading of scripture, in Isaiah chapter 9, listen to this. Here Jesus was not yet born. Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 1, as we read, he was not yet born, but this is one of his prophecies, one of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And I read, it says, "But there will be no gloom when that time comes, when that Messiah comes in the future, 700 years in the future," separating Jesus from Isaiah. Too many years. He's telling them, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. There will be no pain, no gloom. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun. In the former time, they put the land of Zebulun into shame, and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea. That king to come will make these two lands that people are despising glorious.
the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Listen to verse 2 now. The people who walked in darkness, the people of Zebulun and Naphtali, of those two lands, they used to walk in darkness because many Gentiles used to live there, have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them as light shined. These very words were spoken in Matthew. Let me go there again and I read for you how Matthew quoted these very words. Now, I want just to hear his version, Matthew's version. Matthew and I are quoting in chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, listen to what he says here. Matthew chapter 4, 15 and 16. Listen to this. Matthew 4, 15 and 16. He's quoting those words of, because here now that light has come. Jesus Christ was on earth. Had come to earth. So Matthew was quoting those words from Isaiah, and he says in verse 14, So that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. So you are seeing how the connection that Isaiah was speaking about this very Jesus Christ. There, Isaiah did not know the name. Yeah, that's okay. Isaiah did not know the name. He did not know that he would be called Jesus, the name Jesus. But now here, he came already, and Matthew, one of his disciples, is telling people that, no, this has been fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 has already been fulfilled, and he quotes, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Because Jesus Christ, sent his people to preach there in those lands. Now, he says, I am the light of the world. What does that mean? So what is light? I was trying to look for a simple definition for us. What is light? I normally was landing on very complicated definitions from physics. And I did not want to bring those. He could not understand anything. So I just came up with this simple one, that light is something that makes vision possible. That makes vision, that makes sight possible for you. So it helps us see. It helps vision to see even where that guitar is, where that book is, because of this light. If darkness falls here, you won't even know that the book. You say that was a book here. So it helps vision. It makes vision possible. That is light. So here on earth, where God brought us, it is the sun that gives us light. You know it very well. It's the sun that gives us light. And the light that it gives us, both light and heat. Obviously, light brings heat. So now, what you need to know is that the sun, where it is playing two roles on earth here. It gives us light, and at the same time, it gives us life. What gives light gives life. Because without the sun, then vegetations and animals cannot be on earth at all. That's not from me, but from scientists. Without the sun, if only God takes it away, then vegetation and animal life cannot be there. So I'm just going to show you how light is connected with life. So Jesus Christ says, the light of the world, confirming the words of Isaiah that those light would come. And so just because he's telling people that I am the light of the world and I'm here. So I've already told you that the Messiah was predicted as the light of the world in Isaiah. So when you read again John 12:46,
John 12:46 also tells us this. Let me go there quickly. John 12:46, it says, I have come into the world as light. This is Jesus himself also in his own words. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. But then he confirmed that many times in many places, that he is light. Yeah, so, you know, the absence of light brings, okay, if we are here, you know it very well. Even when Jesus Christ was on the cross, there was an eclipse of the sun. Darkness fell on the face of the earth during day, and you see how people panicked, people feared, and started running up and down, because the absence of light brings misery, brings fear. You see, even with children, when we have our young children, our babies, in the night, 9, 10 p.m., and then electricity goes off, you see some kids even cry. Because the absence of light, when light disappears, it is fear, it is misery, it is danger that happens. People enjoy themselves during the night. People have less fear when light is present. It's present. Like now, you can go wherever you want. You can go and from here to the Kavule without any problem. But in the night, you pass down there where there are no houses. That the way you don't trust yourself. Anything can happen now. So I'm trying to show you to help you understand that the absence of light. What comes is fear, it is danger. Obviously, you are more in danger in darkness. Most bad things happen in the absence of light. The thugs, armed robbers, and many other bad things, most of them happen in the night when light is absent. In darkness, the sun is the source of both light and life. Without the sun, there can be no life on earth. Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. So you see, I'm trying to show you how the sun brings us both light and life. And by the way, let me read quickly for you the benefits of light. Emigaso, ejechitangala. Minji, many benefits of light that... you might not know, be aware of. Exposure to light, when you're exposed to light, that helps our bodies produce vitamin D. Vitamin D, when you're exposed to light. It helps our bodies produce vitamin D. It improves our circadian rhythms. It's showing rhythmic behavior within a period of 24 hours. These are things that you might not understand. But also, light improves our sleep patterns. You sleep better because of light. It improves that. Light helps us to focus, to pay attention. Light enables us to get more than, and even it makes us happier. Light. These are scientists. Light reduces stress. Light maintains strong bones. It makes our bones stronger. Light helps keep the weight off. Those who are obese. Light strengthens your immune system. Light fights off depression. Life can give you a longer life. Light can give you a longer life. Now, all these things, because we will be applying them to Christ. Now, I'm telling you that our source of light is the sun. And Jesus Christ, who calls himself the light of the world, is also called in the Bible. Did you know this? In the Bible, he's also called the Son of Righteousness. Let's go to Malachi and you see it for yourselves. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament. Malachi is very easy to find. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. It says, let me get from verse 1 and 2. For behold, the day is coming. You see, they are also talking about those days of that light. The day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. So it's talking sort of about the day of judgment, the day when people will be burning in hell. So it will be a terrible time. The day is coming. That day is coming very soon. Burning like an oven, omuriro, fire, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. People who are moving in their sins will suffer in fire. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze. That day will burn them, says the Lord of hosts, not Bill, not any other preacher. It is the Lord of hosts himself who says these words. They will come to pass. So that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But you, Nayemwe, now, but you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, who was called the Son of Righteousness. Now, this light that the Son gives us and the light that the Son of Righteousness gives us are different. Lights are different. Each time I let you know. So this is because Jesus Christ calls himself. He says, I am the light, the light of the world. So this light of the world gives, obviously, this sun, I've told you that the light of the sun also gives us life. It maintains our life here. Then you can say that for some time, why are pastors dying if this light really gives light? Our dear pastors are dying. Not only pastors, even our dear doctors are dying with COVID in this country. If it gives life really, why are they dying? It gives us life for some short time. But Jesus Christ, who calls himself the light of the world, his light gives life forever and ever. And here, back to our text, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever, not only Reformed Baptists, not only Reformed Presbyterians, not Pentecostals, but whoever, each and every person who might have the grace to follow him. This does not mean that each and every person will follow him. But it leaves the door open to whoever, yena yena muntu yena, each and every. Unfortunately, it is the grace that now falls on people to allow them, to help them follow him. But he says in his own words, I think I tell him, he does not lie. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, The secret is in following him.
Mwemuli muka echama in following him.
And what does following Jesus mean? Going to church every Sunday, getting your Bible and read every day or about twice a day, praying three times a day or five times a day like the Muslims? No! You can do all of those and you are not following Christ. What does it mean now? One, you need to repent of your sins. To repent is not merely to confess. Forgive me, I've been a sinner. No. Yes, confess them, but repent your sins. True repentance happens, as we always tell you, when three types of changes happen. Change of mind, change of heart, and change of lifestyle. Change of heart, change of mind, change of lifestyle. That is to repent. When those three changes happen, then you've repented. That's when you get your Bible to read, you are following, it's a sign of following Christ. When you kneel down on your knees to pray, it's a sign of following Christ. When you are, whatever you do now, because you repented and entered his kingdom. Friends, there are two types of kingdoms. One kingdom of light, another kingdom of darkness. God is, calling us every day to come and leave the kingdom of darkness to come so that we join his kingdom of light. He says, whoever follows me, whoever repents, whoever gets born again, truly born again, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So you hear again also how that light gives life, just as that bread gives life, eternal life. Also, this light of Jesus Christ gives eternal life. He says, "Come to me if you want. You need life. Why should you die when I'm here?" Yeah, so darkness has got also some signs or some symbols, but the biggest is sin. Let me read for you quickly. 1 John 2:9. 1 John, and you see what I'm telling you. 1 John 2:9, and you hear how darkness just is sin. When you are living in sins, then you are walking in darkness. Chapter 2 and verse 9 says this: whoever says he is in light, yena agamba nti ali mu chitangala, and hates his brother, is still in darkness. So this should be a test for us even here. Because when you hear and hate his brother, say, Dani simwagala, me, I don't like Dani. No. They asked in the Bible, in Luke, and who is my brother? So your brother does not end here, Dani, David, Jonah, or my sister. Who is my brother? And Jesus Christ brought parable of the Good Samaritan, to show you that your brother is all that person out there. Yes, you're the children of your mother and father, but we all together with all these neighbors, and even those you don't know. So if you hate, so to know, we need to be very, very careful even about this neighbor here. So don't allow someone's sin to put you into sin. They don't know Christ. So we need to pray for wisdom. Mama gaze, mkama to even this other family here. How should we handle this? Give us wisdom. Because again, the Bible says in Proverbs, don't counsel tolabula musiru according to his. Don't counsel, which word do they normally use there? A fool according to his folly. because it will not help them. Yeah, so you just need wisdom, and the Spirit of Christ is there to give us wisdom. If you have light, that light will give you wisdom on how to handle to handle people. So you see. So again, chapter 2, verse 11 says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So whoever lives in fornication is walking in darkness. He is not in light. Whoever lives in lies. So all sins at large, if you walk in them, then you are still in darkness. Lies and all the things that God does not like. So friends, as we end this, the question I'm asking you, Mutimago, your heart, what does it tell you? Does it tell you that you are in the kingdom of light, or you are still in the kingdom of darkness? We are all born in the kingdom of darkness. We are all born sinners. So when we enter this world, candidate of the other kingdom, citizen of the kingdom of darkness, then in the course of life, Christ brings some into his kingdom of light. Where do you stand? These things are not to joke with. These are very serious things. If you have light, if you have Jesus Christ, then you are walking in light. Whether you walk during day here or during night, you are walking in light. Because he said himself that when you have life, when you follow him, you will never walk in darkness. So Jesus Christ is here, the light. Why do you want to continue walking in darkness where there are robbers, murderers, where there is danger, stress? Huh? They tell you that light, if this fake light, let me call it just fake because it cannot help much. This fake light from the sun, if it can produce all these things for your benefit, what about the real light that produces life? They say the benefits again as I end. Let me just try to show you the thing again that you can enjoy in Jesus Christ as I end. The benefits of light. They say light helps us focus. So when you have Christ, now the real light, you focus very well in this world. Light enables us, it makes us happier. But, okay, they know better, the scientists. Me, I'm not a scientist. But me, I know very well, I know better on this other life, the light of life that is Christ. Jesus Christ makes you happier, my friend. Jesus Christ makes you even happier in dying, in death. Jesus Christ, this light, Jesus Christ makes you happier, both in riches and in poverty. Our friends who preach prosperity gospel, they are only happy when they have cash. They are only happy when they are healthy. But when they are poor, when they are sick, they become sorrowful. Some even speak bad words against God. Can't you hear me? Can't you see me? But the light of the world, Jesus Christ, will make you happier, both in riches and in poverty, both in good health and in bad health. It makes many people die laughing. See, you have saga, friends. This light makes many people die laughing. They say light reduces stress. But you see, it reduces stress, this light of this from the sun. Jesus Christ does not reduce stress. Jesus Christ removes stress totally. The more you enter Jesus Christ, the more you go deep in him, the more you will not know about stress. Light maintains strong bonds. Yeah, with Jesus Christ, I don't need my bones to be strong. I need my heart to be strong. Light helps keep the weight off. Light strengthens your immune system. Light fights off depression. You won't be depressed when you're in Jesus Christ. This life, this light of the sun, they say, can give you a longer life. But this light of right, the sun of righteousness, the light that comes from the sun of righteousness, not can give you long. You hear can, a sovola, long life. But with the light of Jesus Christ, there's no can. It automatically gives you not long life. It gives you eternal life. There's a big difference there. Because this one gives you long life, so you can even live up to 90 years. But what happens after that? You die. He has died very old, but he's died still. The light from Jesus Christ does not give you long life. It gives you eternal. It just gives you life. That's why we call it eternal life. It's just life. It's not long life that it will end at a certain point. No, it just gives you eternal life. So, friend, let's be thinking about our eternity. Let us not focus our attention on the things to pass tomorrow. Let's always be, death does not know until this is the Father. So, because you might be thinking that now here as we end, dad will die first, then mom will follow, then Gloria follows, then Jonah. No, please don't. Even babies die. I can be the last to die here in this house. So, and death is just near. Where you are seated there, you see where the phone of David is. It's very far from where death is. Death is very close to him. So you have death there. So, friends, always think about your eternity. Do you have this light in your heart? Or your heart is still filled with darkness. May the Lord have mercy upon us. Amen.